Good morning and welcome. It's good to see everybody here. As always, I appreciate your presence, and we have many visitors here this morning. We're thankful for your presence especially. We encourage all of you to take out a Bible and read along. Make certain that what is said is in accordance to God's Word. I'd like to take a moment and acknowledge the day that it is and say Happy Mother's Day to the moms and to everybody else who's not a mom. Did you remember to call her and to get her flowers and the things of that sort? Actually, I'm aware of what day it is, and so I thought I'd do a brilliant title, a Mother's Day sermon, and then, foolishly, I added subtitle. I don't know what I was thinking. Subtitle shouldn't be there. Those of you who know me are just jaws down on the floor. I've been here 21 years. I don't think I've ever done a Mother's Day sermon. Bonnie said, "What are you're doing a Mother's Day sermon?" I said, "No, not really. Not really." Well, you can decide for me afterwards, but I don't think of this really as a Mother's Day sermon. It happens to be a Mother's Day lesson that happens to be on a Mother's Day. But I have a different point, a different focus that I want to get to. But I do want to say that moms are absolutely amazing. I recognize that not all moms are. It's unfortunate. Sometimes mothers aren't everything they should be, and that is one of the great shames of the world. But all in all, mothers are amazing. We do see in Romans chapter 1 that in this list of declining morality of mankind, it goes into just all the things that happen when we don't acknowledge God. And you may not be aware of it because most of the modern translations have kind of gutted this out of here. But in verse 31, as it's going through and it's talking about all these problems, it concludes saying that they are without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. That word unloving there in the King James Version is without natural affection. It's talking about this idea of a mother's love and saying that the mothers at that time in this moral decline lacked the love they were supposed to have. It's not a new problem, but it is a real problem when mothers aren't what they're supposed to be. But it's stated in this way because most of the time they are. Most of us have had absolutely amazing mothers. I could not describe the greatness of my mother to you. And the Bible is filled with examples of mothers and the amazing things that they have done. Whether it be Jochebed, who is the mother of Moses and defied Pharaoh and a nation and striving to hide him and keep her son alive. Or perhaps we could talk about Samson's mother, who in Judges 13 and verse 7, she gets told by an angel, "Hey, you're going to be a mom, and here's the thing, he's going to be special. You have to change what you eat. You're no longer allowed to have any wine, any grape juice, anything that comes from the vine at all, along with any unclean food." And all of that was because of her son, and so she had to do that for him. And then there's the mom who approaches Jesus in Matthew chapter 20. And by the way, when you want something to get done, send a mom. They are passionate about these things. They're powerful. And so she goes to Jesus and says, "I would like for my one son to be on your right hand and my other son on the left hand." And it doesn't work out exactly that way, but it's a mom who goes. It's a mom who takes the effort. And it was a mom in Luke chapter 2. We know her by the name of Mary. It was a mom who treasured everything in her heart. "My mom has been giving me Halloween costumes, report cards, and little letters that I've written. My mom stored them all." I don't think my dad kept a thing. It's moms who store everything in their heart and remember everything. And it was a mom, and I don't think I should put up here, guarded the graves. It was a mom who her sons had been killed as a punishment for something they hadn't done. And she stayed there all night, all day, chasing every vermin away so that nothing would come and take the corpses of her sons. It was a mom who was there. And it is the moms who in Genesis 3 and verse 16 who have endured the pain of childbirth. To me, the most amazing thing in the world is the mom who has more than one kid. How many times have guys tried to timidly understand the pain of childbirth. And the women just say, you can't. And yet they do it again and again. And in this process, it is the moms who risk death. You know, it's not such a common thing in our day. Some of you are old enough that your parents took a huge risk. No, your mother took a huge risk. And we see in Genesis 35, we see Rachel die in childbirth. And 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 20, Eli's daughter-in-law dies in childbirth. Just in the very fact that we are alive, our moms took a risk. And so we honor mothers on Mother's Day. And we do it for really three reasons. Is we're honoring the fact that they have given us life. And that is a gift that you cannot give enough thanks for. As much as my mom has done for me, the greatest gift of all was just allowing me to be alive. But then you think about the selfless servant nature of a mother and the underappreciated things that they do from the day that you're born and you're absolutely, positively helpless until the day that they can no longer serve you. The mom is always serving. And it is the mom who is so frequently filled with a tender love. If I wanted rebuke, I went to dad. If I wanted a hug, I went to mom. Mom was always about love. And so I thought, nobody can argue about Mother's Day. This is the one holiday nobody will argue about. And I was wrong. It turns out there are people who disagree with there being Mother's Day. It was yesterday on Facebook, so it must be true. I read an article that talked about the founder of Mother's Day actually went about trying to unfound it. She tried to get it removed, and it was because it had become so commercialized. Perhaps that's the truth, but who's going to argue the appropriateness of honoring our mothers? And the other problem that she had with it, there were a few other problems, but... Oh, she had a problem because it was just another opportunity for men to fail, which is ridiculous. I bought my mom a snow shovel. I'm not going to fail. I'm kidding. I did not. I understand that. But then a few other people jumped in on this, and they said, yeah, we don't like Mother's Day because we're not moms. And they described a circumstance in which in the church they were at, all the moms were asked to stand up, and they were applauded. And honestly, I think we should focus more on worshiping God than women. But the women who weren't standing then felt very self-conscious, like failures. And I can understand where that comes from, too. But that's not really the point. This sermon isn't for the moms. It's for everyone who has a mom. And that makes the sermon for everyone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is a challenging passage. Starting in verse 1 and it goes down, it's talking about the head covering and the woman's proper place. And it is a passage that talks about the need for women to submit to their husbands, also for men to submit to Jesus, and Jesus submits to God. There's this order of things. But in that whole process, he makes it clear that we don't get to ignore women as though they are nothing and have insignificant. He instead argues they are everything for everyone. Because what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 11 is that we are all interdependent. It is true from creation, woman is created from man. He says, however, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also a man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. So yeah, it's true that man was created first, but there's not a man alive who didn't come from a woman. And so women have tremendous importance. And so acknowledging this, ignoring the few objections, Mother's Day is one of the few things that nobody's going to challenge. That moms deserve honor for what they have done, for how long they have done it, and for the way that they have done it. Do you happen to see where we're headed? It's really not about the moms. It's about you and me. It's about who we are should demand that we show proper honor. And this is not true just for Christians, but it is especially true for Christians. Our nature is we are supposed to be a people that quite simply are thankful, that acknowledge when good things have been given to us and done for us. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about speech and inappropriate speech. He says there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. You go down to verse 20, and he says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. We should always be giving thanks. And I want you to consider, is that on Mother's Day? Is that a one day a week thing? One day a week. Wouldn't you mothers like that? That would be improvement, right? Is it a one day a year thing? Is it a one day a week thing? No, this is supposed to be the essence of who we are, a constant thing. We are constantly giving thanks for all things. That's who we're supposed to be. And it's about duty. And again, this is not just a Christian thing, but it is especially true of Christians. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, he speaks to the church, and to the church, he says in verse 3, honor widows who are widows indeed. And then he's going to start defining, what is a widow indeed? Well, it's not somebody who has family still. Because in verse 4 he says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Down in verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. When it says he's denied the faith, he's saying this is a core part of Christianity, is taking care of our family, which includes our moms. It's a core part of Christianity. And if you don't do it, you have denied the faith. But then he says, and you're worse than an unbeliever. And the reason for that is because the rest of the world really gets this. For the most part, the rest of the world understands we should honor our parents and our grandparents. We should take care of our family members. And it is quite simply a command for us, as was read this morning. I was so glad it was a young man who was reading it. Had to read that we're supposed to obey our parents. But in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. It's simply a command. It goes back to the Ten Commandments. It extends way beyond that, going all the way to the New Testament, repeated over and over. We're supposed to honor our parents. And we do it because we have a command. And with that in mind, how do we honor our parents? And in this context, it's through obedience. Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In Colossians 3 and verse 20, it adds to that, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is what makes him happy. Honestly, it makes me pretty happy too. When I go to restaurants or I go shopping, I love seeing obedient children. Disobedient children, not so much. I don't like them quite as much. And there's a good reason. Romans 1 and verse 30, when you're disobedient to your parents, that gets you put in a not very good list. Remember that list that had the unloving without natural affection? It's a list that includes all sorts of bad things, and one of them is disobedient to parents. That is the morality of mankind crumbling, is when we don't listen to parents any longer. So it's not just about our moms. It's also about us. It's about all that they are and all that they've done for us. But it's about all we are and all we are supposed to be. And the sermon isn't about moms at all. But it's about God. If the world can grasp this concept, there are people that aren't at church at all, they never darken the church's door, they don't read the Bible at all, but they get the concept Mother's Day. There are people that don't care about the law. They're criminals. There are people that are in prison right now that are wanting to call their moms because it's Mother's Day. People get the concept that moms deserve our honor. How much more so our God? It's a fair comparison. Now, this would have worked really easily if we were doing this on Father's Day, right? Because the Scriptures talks about God as our Father, not so much about our mother. But if you remember that passage in 1 Corinthians 11? Verse 12, for as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God. There's a comparison. Woman is the life giver. The mother is the life giver. God is the life giver of all things. And so if you compare why we honor mothers, compare it to God. He is absolutely the life giver. In John chapter 1, as it talks about the deity of Jesus, his preexistence, his equality to God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. He is life, and he gives life. In Acts chapter 17, Paul to this in Athens, when he presents the sermon to a group of people that are not Christians and they're not Jews, they're pagans following other gods, he says, those other gods don't compare to this God. This God, the one that you do not know, here's what I can tell you about him. He is not served by human hands as though he needs anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. God doesn't need you, you need him. And whether you serve him or not, he's the one who gave you life. He is truly the life giver. And this, of course, is something that's supposed to give us great comfort and confidence as Christians. It is this. Let me put it this way. If my mom had the power to give me life always, I know I would never die. Because I know my mom would never let it happen. Our God is the life giver. And not only did he give us life at the beginning, but he has promised he'll give it once more. He has promised that we will have eternal life. And so in John chapter 5 and verse 21... Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. Chapter 5 and verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so also the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. Jesus has life in his hands and he can give it to anyone. God has life in his hands and he can give it to anyone, including us once we lose it. And John chapter 17. In verse 2, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you give have given him, he may give eternal life. Go back to John chapter 11, verse 25. This is what Jesus says in regards to Lazarus when he has died. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. He is the life giver, and that is something that is who he is. Not just what he has done, it is what he continues to do, it is what he continues to be. And it should give us great, great confidence as we near the day in which we die, knowing it will not conquer us. It cannot hold us, because the one who has life is our God. And he has promised to give us life once more. And talk about the selfless provider. My mom did a lot for me, but nothing in comparison to what God can do for all of us. In James chapter 1, we're told if we lack wisdom, we should pray to God. You know why we should pray to God? Because he gives. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Down to verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. If you have something that is truly spectacular and truly good and wonderful, even all the way down to food, you know where it come from? It has come from God. In Matthew 5, verse 45, it talks about how it is God who causes it to rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It is God who causes the sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous. In John 3:16, perhaps the best known verse in the Bible is about God giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You want to talk about a servant. And one who is not properly thanked. It is God. In John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says in regards to the Father, he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. From creation until that day, until this day, God has been working. Every morning the sun has come up and the land has had its rain. And we have had our food. And we have had blessings beyond blessings. And it's all been God." And you want to talk about tender love. In John, 1 John 4 and verse 8, God is love. Beyond that, it's one of the great things about a mom. You can be the ugliest kid ever, and the mom will still love you. You can get the worst grades, and the mom will get frustrated, but she'll still love you. We don't love God first. He loved us first. In Romans 5 and verse 8, he loved us. He demonstrates his love for us while we were yet sinners. While we were spiritually as ugly as you could get, God still loved us and served us and saves us. So yeah, who's going to argue about Mother's Day? And who would really argue if I said Mother's Day is just not enough? One day is just not enough. One little gift doesn't make up for all the things that your mother has done for you. How much more so than for God? And where is his honor? And where is his praise? And where is his thanks? Are we as careful to go to God in prayer and to say thank you instead of going to God in prayer and say give me more as we are with our moms on this day? Where is our obedience, which is how we show honor? We were told in 1 Timothy 5, it's appropriate, it's necessary, it's responsible that we give a return. Now, God doesn't need us. And I'm not talking about money. But are we giving back to him? Are we dedicating our lives to him? Is one day a year enough? For some people, they come and they worship God one day a year. Is that enough? Is 2 days enough? Brothers and sisters, most of you, that's not the way you are. You come 52 days a year or more. Is that enough? The bottom line is it'll never be enough for what God has given us. And so let us give him our all. For he is worthy. And that's who we should be. A people of thanks. A people that honor. And a people that fulfill their duty to the God who has given us life, who has served us in this way, and who has loved us beyond comprehension. If there are any here who are not Christians, we give you an opportunity to dedicate yourself to this God this morning. To set aside your way, your rebellious way, and to serve him. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we encourage you to come take one of these front seats, confess that faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. If you don't believe Jesus is the Christ, and you want to know more about that, ask us. We'll study with you. We'll talk about it. We'll reason with you. We'll show you why we believe and why you should believe. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, we encourage you to come forward and to return to God, who wants you back and will forgive you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?